Love Lives Here. Hi, I'm Holly Steele.
And I'm Mary Stedman.
We are the creators of Steele and Stedman Service Solutions. And together have a combined 70-year history as service professionals. Our belief is that talking about love should not simply be relegated to the domain of music and art. We agree with the late, great Tina Turner when she sings, "What's love got to do with it?" Well, everything.
In this Service Love podcast, you will experience conversations with hospitality professionals, including world-class concierge, entrepreneurs, business owners, and corporate executives around the world on how they express service love. Thank you for joining us in leading a service love movement. There is no doubt what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of.
We are delighted to tell you about our next guest. Amy Finsilver began her professional career as an investment banker. But in 1989, she left that career and took a job as a hotel concierge at the Marriott Long Wharf in Boston. And boy, did that career risk pay off. Amy went on to become the founder of the Boston Concierge Association and a member of Les Clés d'Or, the professional association of hotel concierge. Soon, Amy was recruited by Four Seasons Hotels, where she worked until 1999. While working at the Four Seasons Boston, her stellar professionalism was duly noted and appreciated by a guest who was a real estate developer, and he asked Amy to join his opening team at 15 Beacon Hotel, a 63-room boutique luxury hotel, where she now serves as their general manager. Amy has experience in every aspect of hotel operations, guest services, food and beverage, marketing, sales, technology, budgeting, and contract negotiation. And in addition to all these hands-on skills, Amy lends her support and expertise as a vital member of multiple boards and business associations in Boston. And she has a long history as a mentor to those eager to succeed in hospitality. But Amy actually credits her very eclectic and interesting personal background as preparation for all of her success. All of her vacations were educational, including working on a Hopi Indian reservations. Her parents stress team sports, culture, arts, travel, independence, creativity, inclusion, philanthropy, value, purpose, and responsibility, even having to explain proof for her need of a $5 a week allowance. So it is our great pleasure to welcome our friend and respected colleague, Amy Finsilver.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be part of this amazing podcast that you and Mary have begun.
Oh, thank you. So, you know, Amy, we call this whole thing that we're doing service love. And it's, I don't know how many people have put those two words together before, where we really talk about service and love as almost one word. It's two words, but we put it together as this one concept. So with all of your background from the time you were a little girl in serving other people and within from such a loving home, what would your definition of service love be?
Well, when you say you put the two words together, I feel like they're meant to be together because you can't provide a service unless you love what you're doing. So there's somewhat should be, I think, one word. My definition, when you started telling me about the podcast, I really thought about it. You know, you can look at each individual, but I think caring and being genuine and not just doing what you think is right, but what the recipient feels cared for and safe and really appreciated. So it's basically performing in a way that is caring and helpful to the recipient of it, all while making you feel that you're important as well.
Wow. Couldn't agree with you more. And I love that you say that they should be together and that passion. Really, really beautiful. But when did you know you loved what you do? When did you have that aha moment where you're like, this is what I want to do? Because you started off in a different career.
Correct. So I never really thought about it until my sister mentioned it to me on a trip. My sister was the editor of Women's Wear Daily, New Women magazine, and they were doing reviewing different spas and resorts. And I had taken this job as a concierge, as I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, not be an investment banker, because I hated going to work. I dreaded it. So I took this time out and got a job at a hotel because someone suggested that, you know, I'd love to travel. I like dealing with people. And I didn't even know what a concierge was. But they told me I plan things. I give directions. I make reservations. You go to theaters. You go to sporting events. It was all the hobbies that I enjoyed doing. So when I could tell people, help them. So we were on this trip and we were going through customs in actually Jamaica. And the customs agent asked, you know, she's in one line and I'm in another line. And my sister tells a story that she overheard me explaining to this customs agent what I did for a living, because I wrote concierge on the declaration form. And I was explaining, just as I just did, oh, you know, this is what I do. And my sister, after we passed through, she said, you love your job. And I'm like, oh, it's not really a job. I just, you know, I'm having fun. And she's like, no, you were elated. You were beaming. You're explaining it. You were excited. She's like, I had never heard you say that about what you did. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. I said, it's not a job, really. It's something I just enjoy doing and I love it. I'm like, and I didn't realize I could do this as a profession, you know, incorporate everything that I wanted to do into one part of my life, but it ended up being my life.
That is so cool. So that you didn't even know, and your sister had to point it out to you. And I love that you talked to a customs person, because who does that? Yeah. I just want to run through customs. And now you don't have to because you have the global entry. So it's like, you know, I don't want them to even look me in the eye, because maybe they'll, you know, charge me for my sweaters or something. But that's so you even talk to customs people. You know, what the thing that I find really interesting about your story, besides your really interesting family, is that you transitioned from a few different careers, that you transitioned from so many careers and now to this career where you're really responsible. I mean, this is one of the historic hotels in Boston. This is a luxury property, and you're responsible for a lot of team members and running it and making money and keeping it beautiful and all of these things. So at this point, having changed to your leadership position, I mean, it's one thing to express service love as a concierge, because that's your 100% job, right? But as a leader, what you're doing, can you talk a little bit about that, about how you express service love now?
Well, I was fortunate enough to be on the opening team of the property that I am the general manager of. And when I came here, I was tasked with the responsibility of creating service standards, job descriptions, and training for all positions. And when I came here, one of my philosophies is that I opened this property as a concierge hotel with the concierge ethos and missions and beliefs. And I really try to instill that in everyone that I bring into the property. You can train any technology and tasks, but you can't change someone's personality. Only you can show them and learn from them and express what you're looking for. So I try to have my staff be creative, be perceptive, give them a lot of responsibility in solving a guest's problems, making them feel special, being that they are, this is their property. It's like welcoming a guest back or to the hotel as they're welcoming them in their own home. as if you would saw an old college friend that would come in that you haven't seen in years, and you're bringing them into your house and you show them how everything works and what they need. You want them to feel safe and comfortable and basically not having to ask for everything because you've been proactive. So one, I try to do that, even though I'm the general manager and basically, yes, I'm responsible for the finances and the marketing and the operation as a whole. But, you know, the epitome of what we do is taking care of our guests. And in order to take care of our guests well, I have to take care of my staff well. And I want them to enjoy their job. So I want to make it fun for them. I want to make it interesting and challenging. And I want to give each and every one of them, from the housekeeper to the doorman, the driver, the front desk, the server, feeling like they have onus in what happens in the experience of our guests. And I really give them a lot of freedom to take care and do whatever they need to do. And it's, and since we're an independent hotel, I'm given that control to really create these memories. And, you know, be it a corporate person, someone who is ill, coming here for medical treatment, someone who has a special occasion, or a staycation for a local. So I guess in a nutshell, you know, I try to express the service love by being perceptive about our guests, being proactive, personalizing every individual, being it's a head of a state, a celebrity, or someone who's just, you know, wants to propose to their girlfriend, husband, you know, boyfriend, to really create that experience. So to show that person, whether it's the guest, whether it's a colleague, how much you care about them.
That's so great, because it's really so much about how you treat your team. And so we can just tell you that when Mary and I were working in Boston not so long ago, and your driver took us to a restaurant, and he was so precious. How many years has he been with you, Amy?
If Mark drove you, he's been here since we opened. He was one of my first hires when I opened the hotel. But did he have a Russian accent?
Yes, he had a Russian accent.
Yeah. He's 23 years, 20, actually going this year, 25.
Right. And I think that one of the things that you have manifested is a lot of long-term employees because of the way that you treat them. And I can tell you that Mary and I felt like we were at someone's home and their friend was driving us. Oh yeah, because, you know, I'm on the way, I'll take you. You know, and it was just the sweetest. He expressed your heart through his heart of service. And it could have been a transaction driving us there, but he was the opposite of, you know, just like a paid driver. He was so wonderful. So we love that. So thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, that warms my heart, because I really want people to enjoy what we do. We spend so much time in our careers or working that if you don't enjoy it, or you're not having fun, or you don't feel like you're making a difference, for me, in my mind, like, how are we going to provide that service if we don't do it for one another as a team, as a family? We're not going to be able to exude that out to our guests and our clients and our customers and our vendors. I mean, it's like a trifecta. You know, I have my owners I respond to, we have our employees, and we have our guests, and, you know, we all kind of have to work together to make sure that everybody's happy and we're successful in what we do.
Good job.
Yeah, well done. I was also going to mention that story. So Holly, you took the words right out of my mouth, because yeah, I mean, of course. But when we entered into your property, it was like coming home. I'd never been, and I felt like I'd been before. And it's definitely the way you lead by example, right? Holly always says the song Bruno Mars, "Don't believe me, just watch." So I think that keeps coming into my head listening to you, because it's that you do it, right? And as you do it, people will follow, right? And continue to do that. And if they're watching you do it consistently, as you do, because I got to go back a few times and see you, and also been dealing with you in many other ways, and you definitely lead with love. So thank you for spreading that love, because the world needs more of it, and you're a true leader. But it is a different time in the world right now, and it can be difficult some days or challenging moments, which I know, I think you're in a challenging moment right now. So when, when is it, you know, how do you find it hard to serve with love? Or when are there moments when you find it's difficult to serve with love?
It's challenging when you don't have the resources to be able to do what you want, or the confidence, or the knowledge to be able to handle something. I mean, you know, just with the COVID situation, you know, the supply chain was difficult. Labor has been hard. People are much more protective. Sometimes I feel like people lost the passion to care. They're being more skeptical. So it has been a challenging time just because it, you know, our industry as a whole has been struggling. But when there is somewhat of an ignorance or lack of enthusiasm, it is very challenging. So, you know, you have to somewhat step back, reevaluate, see if you have the right people. You know, I look at myself when I'm going through, you know, if I'm getting frustrated with something that it's not performing the way I want, or someone's not, you know, thinking outside the box, being creative. I look at myself and I'm like, do they have all the tools do they need? Have I given them enough leeway? Are we communicating properly? You know, is it me or is it, you know, the other person? And it's always like a check. And, you know, so someone have to now like reinvent yourself on how we do things, if because we can't do it the same way. So we're being much more creative and resourceful as to how we create these experiences, how we take care of people, how I take care of my staff, you know, what we're doing to be able to improve while, you know, keeping those situations in check. It's a different way of doing business and such.
So there's a few things that you said are really interesting. When you said that what you're talking about is the people who were on your team, right? You're not talking about the client. You're talking the guest.
I'm talking about both. I mean, it's getting that out of the go. You know, getting enthusiasm out of our employees, but the guests that are traveling now. I mean, we had to switch up our market. And I think that the expectations of their guests are even harder. You know, for instance, people who are traveling from states or, you know, not when the entire, we have a big international guest group, but, you know, when we had to reopen after COVID, we had more U.S. people. And, you know, in the southern states, COVID wasn't as prevalent as it was in Boston, New York, San Francisco, and their expectations were different. And they, you know, were not accommodating or flexible to fulfill and of the restrictions, like not wanting to wear a mask, not wanting, you know, where's my turndown service? Why don't you have this? So we had to work with those guests as to try to satiate their needs, all while, you know, making sure we're being legal and, you know, explaining. So again, it's a communication, it's a preparedness to deal with, you know, your employees and your guests. So.
Yeah. Interesting. It's funny. I don't know about whether they didn't have the same amount of COVID. They just didn't acknowledge it, Amy.
Correct.
They just were like, because when I was traveling across the country, when we moved, I was like, oh, I guess they don't have COVID here. Right. It was just crazy. You know, I kind of want to switch up the energy just a little bit, which is to get back to you and the way that you express service love. And with all of your many years of experience, there's a story come to mind where you could think about, gee, that was really good, Amy, or that you still hold in your heart something that you did that really expressed service love. We're looking for some stories, if you have any that you can pull up.
You know, now that I think about it, I'm getting a little emotional. So excuse me one second.
I love that, actually. No. Wow.
So we being an intimate high-end hotel in the Boston market, we have a lot of guests that come to get medical treatment. And we had a couple that would travel to us for a few nights for a few years on this cancer trial for treatment. And they were a lovely couple. And the wife had the best spirit. You know, when you're, because I know when I'm sick, I'm not the nicest person. I want to be, not talked to, not touched, not, don't even like get in a bad mood. And this woman had the best spirit the whole time. And they were the most pleasant couple. And, she would get good news, she would get bad news. So they were a repeat guest and we would see them and they always were nice. Some days she, did not look good. Some days she did. And, they would keep giving her a few months to live and then she'd get on a new trial and then it'd extend her life. And, there were some scary times. And I remember I was at a conference and I get a call from my staff and I'm like, you need to, they're asking for you. And this is like after 3 years of knowing them in and out. And I reached out, I had an email from the husband and, saying we're going to have to cancel all our future reservations because this is going to be our last visit. And I was so upset that I wasn't there, to say goodbye. But I had heard when I returned, my staff was telling me all about it and how they were hugging and crying, to say goodbye to someone that you've seen through the years. My staff became very close with them, because we took care of them. And I received a letter after her passing and the husband and daughter, adult daughter and family that we grew to know, sent me this beautiful letter, like thanking them. And there was a note from the woman who passed away thanking me because she said that the service that we gave to her and taking care of her extended her life.
Wow.
And if it wasn't for my team, that she never would have lived that long. And the things that she experienced, what she felt, carried her through the last 2 years of her life. So to me, like that means the world. And I'm sorry I'm getting so upset. I haven't thought about that in like 3 years. But the people you encounter when they comment about my staff or how what we've done or how we've changed their life, like made a successful conference or helped them with their anniversary or their illness or, change their perspective on Bostonians, it just makes me feel good that I could touch a life and improved it in some way. And I feel that even with my staff, if I have someone who was very, timid and quiet and, we give them the training and allow them to be themselves and they grow as a person. And then I, coach and counsel and then they move on and they take on a bigger position or change careers. I mean, it's really the impact that myself or my team has on our guests. You can't win the hearts and minds of everybody, but, if we can change just a little bit, that makes the world to me. And, in some way, I'm not being unselfish, because it makes me feel good to be able to help others. And that makes me feel good. So that's it in a nutshell. Maybe you can edit all that little weepiness out, but sorry about that.
Oh my gosh, Amy, thank you so much for doing that because our Our goal, really, in doing these podcasts is to inspire people to go into this industry, to go into a place and in any industry, really, where you say, may I help you, where you serve other people, where you have an opportunity every single day, all day long, to make a difference, to say, whose life can I enhance today? And when you understand going to work from that place, it changes everything. And so for you, after all of these years and asked to share a story, we'd become emotional around that, is such a gift. So thank you so much for expressing yourself so beautifully, and that we hope that people hear these things so that they can really get this is real stuff. This is real. And thank you for being so real. And we really appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I thank you for your understanding, but you know, it's, you know, people, I also teach at some colleges in Boston, and when people say they want to go into the hotel business, or I like taking care of people and I want to, you know, they don't understand it until you do it. It is exhausting. It's draining. It's, you know, it's not about, you know, people talk about going on stage and, you know, while you're here, yes, if you're in a bad mood, you have to be nice to people and you have to be helpful. But if you don't have that genuine care and concern of really wanting to make a change or difference, you're not going to want to come to work. It's sometimes an unthankful position. And unless you really, or a person really thrives on helping, be it, yes, I would love to be able to be, you know, a cardiac surgeon or, you know, curing cancer or something. But being that I'm not, and I picked this industry, it's not for everybody. You know, it's not, it seems glamorous, but it's really the trenches. So you really have to be innately care about people and wanting to help them, be it, you know, again, business traveler, guest experience, special occasion, or, you know, some type of illness. It's sometimes an unthankful job. And other times, you know, if it makes you feel good to do something simple for someone, it's so easy for you, but to them, it's the world. Like, it makes me happy.
That's beautiful.
And it doesn't feel like, I like being here. Everyone's like, my friend's like, you work too much. I'm like, you know, this is who I am. This is my job. It's not really, yes, I just use the word job, but it, you know, I don't know what I would do if I didn't do this. This incorporates everything I like, you know, my hobbies, my interests, my intellect, the challenge, the perseverance, the financial, the success, the competition, the creativity. It's the perfect industry and job for me.
It's not
love
a job.
To travel, love to eat, love to go out, love to meet people like you who inspire me.
It's beautiful. And you may not be a cardiac surgeon, but you prolong that woman's life just by the little things, right? And that right there just shows the little things do make a big difference, right? Because it's all in the consistency. And being open and being a good listener. And we talk about that and seeking opportunities and having the values that your team have that you've shared with and bringing that energy to work. In order to have that energy, though, to come to work, you need to take care of yourself. And Holly and I talk a lot about this, about self-care and the importance of it. So what do you do? What are tips that you can share with our audience? What do you do to take care of you? How do you love yourself?
I'll tell you, this is the hardest question for me because I'm still working on that. I mean, I love what I do. So coming to work, you know, if I'm not in a great mood, you wake up on the wrong side of the bed, coming to work always seems to make me feel better. So I'm not saying that's my self-care, but you know, when you're undergoing a lot, you're overwhelmed or overworked or stressed or long hours, I still gain energy from interactions that I might have with my staff or with my guests. Sometimes I don't, but I'm still working on trying to take more time for myself. The past few years have been really hard. For our industry and work-wise, just being short-staffed and the demands that we've had to deal with. But You know, I love cooking. I love going out to dinner. I love being with dogs. So my dog passed away. She was the love of my life. And I haven't gotten a new one, but I like, you know, whether I'm with my friends, at being with animals, taking a walk by the water, being with my friends, getting a massage, getting a manicure, you know, so listening to a great book, reaching out to my family, or visiting them. And it's just, I travel a lot for work. So if, as much as I love to travel, I also like to be home doing laundry, watching a great movie. So, I mean, I am working on taking more time to do those things, but I also love being at work. I like to be in control. I like to know what's going on. So it's something that I'm trying to find moderation in to do those other things that I enjoy. Great. Did I answer your question? Because that was I'm brainstorming as I'm telling you, because I don't have a specific thing that I could tell you that I do, except maybe, you know, going to the fish market, getting a nice piece of salmon, going home, cooking, listening to some good music. That kind of is how I regain my energy and regroup.
Beautiful.
And having some tequila. No, I'm just not anymore. Yeah.
Great. That was great. No, I think the walking, you just got me thinking, walking and the dogs and just walking with friends and just taking time out. I call them Stedman steps because my last name's Stedman and I'm a huge walker and I average about 15,000 steps a day.
And that's wonderful.
Yeah. But for me, it's, I agree with you. I mean, it's that whole, and being by water, you're lucky you're by water too. Cause I do miss that because I'm in London, but obviously water's not, you have the Thames, but you're not always there. But I would say there is something beautiful about that. And even just stepping away, right? Even in the middle of the day, just getting out and getting some air and walking can just change the whole
way. We have a beautiful roof deck. And in the summer, I go up there. Like, I love feeling the sun. I love getting fresh air. I have not been able to do walks during the day, but... And, you know, being on the ocean, something about the sea air, it's just so refreshing and revitalizing. So love dancing, being with my friends. So,
yeah, that's
good. And sports. You didn't say that because
I love sports.
Yeah.
Right. I know.
My teams. Yes.
Exactly.
And yeah.
Right. You love that. So
I do.
And you would, you know, I mean, okay, so a lot of people who are listening to this may not know that Amy Finsilver, on top of everything else, she's gorgeous. So you may not know that. And you can't look that beautiful if you don't take care of yourself. You just don't. So that's a part of it too. So Mary's going to take it home now. So thank you.
Yeah. So where do you wish there was more love and compassion?
Well, these days I wish, you know, with the what's happening in the other side of the world from us, with the wars and insurrections and with our politics and government, I wish there was more understanding of different cultures and religions and beliefs. Like, why do we have to fight and argue in a violent way when we can just respect each other's differences? So I wish there was much more compassion into people who have different beliefs. I mean, it's, you know, you can agree to disagree, but I don't understand why it has to be so devastating to different people and countries and, you know, groups if they believe differently. So I wish there was much more compassion and understanding in the world as a whole. I mean, it sounds kind of corny, but, you know, I think after like COVID and what everybody's been through, I don't feel like people aren't as compassionate for what everybody else is going through. You know, I think they're being more, it's all about me and this new generation, what's good for me, when everybody is not caring as much about their neighbor. Or what they're going through. So I wish people had more patience and empathy for one another.
Amen. Yeah. Mary's going to ask you some questions now. She calls them rapid fire questions. I'm going to let her tell you about them. They're actually really fun. We always ask at the end of a podcast. So Mary created some questions for you, Amy.
Yeah, I'm leading with sports because I do know you love sports. So so I'm going to ask you five questions, as Holly said, and it's going to be, do you prefer? And I'm going to say a couple things and you choose what you prefer. Are you ready?
Sure.
Yeah, great.
Well, I'm ready.
Yeah. Do you prefer basketball or baseball?
Baseball.
Yeah, I knew that was probably the answer, but I must say, I want to thank you publicly for what you did for me and my father when we came to Boston, as we went to the Celtics game, because we are huge. Well, we like baseball too, but we would say we're big basketball fans. And he still talks about that special moment when his name was on the big jumbo screen and I couldn't be there for his 70th birthday the year before. And we had the most amazing time. So I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you again. And I never thought I'd be so, I even got Boston gear. I've been a Detroit Piston fan and Toronto Raptors fan my whole life. And I actually bought a Boston t-shirt and I got the big chain. And yeah, I can't believe I went to that side. But I must say, if anyone's out there who are NBA fans, go to Boston to watch a game because the crowd is absolutely spectacular. The stadium is beautiful and you can walk. We even walked home into the city center afterwards. It was gorgeous. So
yeah, we're very fortunate. I mean, I completely understand where you're coming from because growing up in New York, I was a Jets fan, a Yankee fan, a Rangers fan. And, you know, my family tells me like I'm such a convert because I moved to Boston and I was still cheering for my New York teams. And then after living in this city with the spirit of the, you know, the fans and our great teams, I did, it was instead of being J-E-E-T-S, it was P-A-T-S. And I was fortunate to befriend the Brady family and knew Tom and had friends who worked for the Red Sox. And, you know, after the bombing of the marathon and being a smaller city, you get to meet the people involved with the organizations. And I just love the way the city came together. And, you know, having such great sports teams with the Bruins and the Celtics. I mean, I go to as many games and had season tickets. So you just feel like part of it. And it's such a spirited that I am now officially a Boston sports fan. So, and I might have converted a few years ago. So, yeah.
Well, I don't blame you. I was there, a few days, and I was ready to convert.
Yeah.
Yeah. The energy is electrifying. So, yeah, everyone needs to go to Boston and everyone needs to go see sports. Even if you're not into sports, like Holly, you need to just go anyway. It's that.
It's an experience. Yeah.
It is. Definitely. So, the next question is, do you prefer a beach holiday or a ski holiday?
Definitely a beach. I'm addicted to the sun. Hence, that's why I look like a Shar-Pei.
No. Do you have any favorite beaches? Where's your favorite beach holiday?
Well, if I was going in Massachusetts, I like Manchester by the Sea, Singing Beach. You walk on it and the sand makes noises and it's very rustic. It's like on a cove and there's beautiful like cut rocks, but then a really nice sandy beach, easy waves. My favorite beach when I've been traveling has got to be in Anguilla. I prefer them actually over St. Bart's or Bermuda. It's really the aesthetic. I don't like something that's commercialized. They have these little bay and the water's like warm and soothing and clear, and it's just so serene and peaceful.
Right. Oh, I could go there right now. Yeah. I'm visualizing. Do you prefer Italian food or French food?
I prefer Italian because I'm addicted to garlic. I'm not a pasta person, but anything with garlic and spice I love. But if I had to choose Italian or French, it would be Italian, but my favorite is sushi, Japanese.
Oh, yeah. Great. And you have great dining scene in Boston. I was quite impressed.
Good. Thank you. Excellent. Yeah, we do. It's grown a lot.
Yeah. And location-wise, for cities, do you prefer New York City? I know you're from there, or London?
I probably prefer New York just because I grew up there and I'm more familiar with it than London. I've had wonderful times in London. And New York, to me, even though I choose not to live there, because at this point, I'm very, I like to be in control. I like everything close. So Boston works best for me. But New York, the excitement, my family, memories. So New York City.
Home is where the heart is. And last question, do you prefer watching films or going to the theater, live theater?
That is a tough one. I have to say that's pretty much equal. I love both. Films are more convenient. If I love movies, but that what I would do in the home. If I'm going out, I want to go to the theater. I love dance. My mom had a dance school and company in New York City. I danced. I love the theater. I used to act. I was on the Hi-C commercial and label. So I always have a thing for dance and theater.
Wow. Learn something every time, Amy. What haven't you done?
So great. So one last really quick question just for you to think about your future and the future of love and service love as it relates to you, since this is service love, just thinking about your future self and now as we lean forward, how are you going to continue to serve with love?
I am going to continue to hopefully enrich my staff, my team, to be able to pass on to the next generation my ideals and goals and values. So, you know, if I was ever to leave the industry or what I'm doing, the brand of this property and the service to our guests and people continue to care about one another and provide this authentic service love that we do for our guests. So that would be my ultimate goal. Like personally for myself, I would, you know, hope to dedicate as much time into a personal relationship, you know, get married and have a partner. But career-wise, I just hope that the next generations continue to take care of people, because I feel like we've, you know, with AI, everything's somewhat lost touch. You know, Holly, you remember, you know, we're in the yellow pages doing research and everybody's like online. I mean, no one's playing like games late at night manually. So I just hope that the way I feel and what I'm, you know, projecting to my team, it continues for generations.
That's so great. Thank you. This is the best thing that we can do is something that I heard Gloria Steinem say. She said, you don't pass a torch. What you do is you light someone else's. And so
that's
what I think you're so great at. And the fact that you're conscious and aware that part of your responsibility as a leader is to keep lighting other people's torches so that they can pass it on. So thank you for doing this so that we can continue to pass on your wisdom and your brilliance. And so
thank you for the opportunity. It was great. It helped me reevaluate some things as well.
That's so great. And now you have to go deal with what you're dealing with floods. And
I'm looking at my security cameras and I'm like, oh boy, that street looks messy.
Yeah. So the fact that you can express service love in the middle of a crisis and take the time to do this, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you both. Love you too.
A big thank you to all of you who listened to the end today, and especially to our guest, Amy Finsilver, the GM of 15 Beacon Street in Boston, for sharing her passion, knowledge, and stories, and how she leads with love every day with her team and guests. We'd like to thank Amy for making such an impact and being a service love leader. Have you ever defied the odds? Up next in episode 11, Holly and I had such an amazing discussion with Dio Gibson. Dio has defined the odds as a rapper from Canada becoming a certified international artist, a successful record label executive, and a socially active community ambassador. He set a Guinness World Record when he freestyled for nearly 9 hours in 2003. Dio has done this always serving with love, and his success is defined in his own terms. You'll even get to hear an unplanned freestyle. We would love to hear from you on how you celebrate the people who express their love and hospitality daily. Please drop us a line, join our Service Love Challenge by visiting our website at www.steelandstedmanservicesolutions.com. And you can also follow us on Instagram at service_love and LinkedIn at Steel and Stedman Service Solutions. Together, we can inspire, inform, and influence a movement to raise the frequency of love. Will you be a part of it? My name is Mary Stedman. This is the Service Love Podcast, and Holly and I look forward to you joining on the next episode.